Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Tell you something about this psalm. When Preacher Ennis called me, I was at work, and he called, and Lord had put something on my heart. And I didn't know why he put it on my heart, but he did. He put this message on my heart, in fact. And when you called me, brother, I had that on my mind. And I was thinking, you know, man, this is a good message. I sure hope I get to preach it. And lo and behold, the phone rang and he called me. And I said, so I knew where I was supposed to preach it. Of course, I tried it out last Sunday at our church. Had a Sunday school teacher and two deacons saved, but I'm joking about that. They're still hopelessly lost, I'm afraid. Anyway. If you're there with me at Psalm 145, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. What I'd like to do is I'd like to read the first three verses, and then I'd like to jump over and read verses 18 through 21. I'm not going to read the whole psalm because I want to touch on the whole psalm tonight. I know it. What time's service over, brother? When I'm done. I heard a preacher say one time, said he made a promise to his congregation. He said, I'll quit when I'm done. And that's better than some preachers do, so they keep going. All right, if you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And His greatness is unsearchable. Whoo! Praise the Lord for that. Amen? His greatness is unsearchable. And then look over there at verse 18 through 21. It says, the Lord is righteous in all His ways, and holy in all His works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. If I don't hear amen right there, I don't know what to do. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. How about you? God did a wonderful thing when He saved me. And He did for you too. Amen. And then in verse, where am I? I done lost place. All right. Just make sure you keep it up. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him. Hey, can I show you amen right there? He don't just save you, but He preserves you, doesn't He? That's right. Yeah, preserve. All right. But all the wicked will He destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that You would help me now. Though I have stammering lips of clay, I just pray, Father, that You would help me to hide behind the cross tonight. I pray that You would help me to encourage Your people tonight. There are people here tonight who have been busy with their lives, in their occupations, just trying to make a living maybe, or they occupy their time in other areas. And Father, there are people here tonight, good Christian people, who have just haven't stopped to thank You for what You did for them. Father, You did a great thing when You saved us, and when You came down from glory, walked this earth, died on a Calvary's tree, and paid the sin debt that we all owe. And Father, just by simple faith and faith alone in what You did on Calvary, You promised to save us if we'll just ask You to save us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Your word tells us. Father, what a promise. What a Savior. What a God. Father, may we extol Thee tonight. May we exalt Thee. May we praise Thee tonight. And may Your people be encouraged to, as David says here in this psalm, with his mouth shall he speak thy praise. May we leave this place tonight eager to shout from the housetops and to praise You for what You've done for us. Father, take glory to Yourself and what You accomplish, and we'll ask it in that name which is above every name, that name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to touch base on just about all of this passage, but let me ask you a question. Do you ever get a song or jingle or something like that stuck in your head?
You remember the old Alka-Seltzer commercials? What? Yeah.
You're welcome for that. Now you're stuck in your head, right? Amen. It's enough to drive you crazy. You get one that almost drives you crazy, or a song or something like that. I know around Christmas time, my wife loves that song, All I Want for Christmas is a Hippopotamus or something. Something about a hippopotamus. And she'll sing that, and then it'll get stuck in my head and just make you want to beat your head up against a brick wall, don't it? Anyway, enough to drive you crazy. Well, listen, when Pastor Ennis called me, I had this on my mind. Not Alka-Seltzer. Not the hippopotamus. I didn't have a jingle or a song stuck in my head, but I had a song on my heart. It's different when you've got a song in your heart than some melody stuck in your head. Amen? Or one of those 7-Eleven songs that just keeps going over and over in your mind. Right? Like y'all when you go and visit these other... No, I'm not. let me give you the song that was stuck in my heart, that was blessing my heart when he called. And that's a song by Fanny Crosby. You know Fanny Crosby was blind from the time she was an infant. And I think what it was is some kind of, she had fever and they put a poultice on her head, mustard poultice, I think it was, and it ran down in her eyes and blinded her. And she was asked later as a teenager, wouldn't you like to have your sight back? She said, no, I wouldn't trade it for all the world, I guess. I don't know exactly what she said. But that song was, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. Boy, I got to thinking about that. And just that first line, it excites me. It blesses my heart just to think, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. And that got me thinking, what great things has God done? The great things that God has done. I got to thinking about the Bible, researching in my mind what God has done in the Bible, what Scripture tells us about the great things of our great God, what He has done. Well, I got to thinking about creation. Creation is a great thing. What a tremendous thing God did when He spoke and the worlds came into existence. I'm talking about all the worlds, all the stars, the sun, the moon, the earth. God just spoke and it came into existence. That's a great thing. I thought about the flood. You know, God, a righteous God, casting judgment upon a wicked, vile, sinful world, which He had a perfect right to do. By the way, He's got a right to do that today also, right? because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, right? Amen? I was asking for another amen. Y'all kind of getting weak on me. No. I'm getting hard of hearing, amen. But I thought about that creation, the flood. That was a miracle beyond our comprehension. I thought about the fire and brimstone that He rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah. Isn't that something? Where it just rained down on them at that time. And the plagues of Egypt, what a miraculous thing that must have been to have seen it. Amen? From the Israel's perspective, not from the Egyptians. I wouldn't want to see it from that view. All right. And then I thought about, how about the miracles that God's prophets performed under His power? What about the virgin birth of Christ? The miracle of the virgin birth of Christ. I thought about, how about the miracles of Christ? He walked this earth and healed the lame and the blind. What a miracle. Raised Lazarus from the dead. Amen. Great things God hath done. He's deserving of glory, isn't He? Amen. Then I thought about, how about the Holy Spirit empowerment for His disciples there in the upper room. What a great thing that must have been to have seen them filled with the Holy Spirit of God, going out, empowered by the Holy Spirit, going out and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Great things God hath done. Well, I got to looking at this psalm, and I believe there's more here than those great miracles that we see here. There's more here. We have a great, all-powerful, all-knowing God. But there's more to Him than that. There's more to Him than we can comprehend. Our psalm points more things out than what I just spoke about. And so I'd like to just, we don't have time to dissect and take apart every little piece of this psalm, but I would like to take it like a loaf of bread, and slice open a little bit, and peel back some of that crust, and get some of that good, hot, warm, steamy bread on the inside. Amen? Y'all ready to leave and go to supper now, aren't you? All right. Just forget I said that and come back to earth with me. All right. Look at this. I just want to quickly, I'd like to break this down. I want you to see the affirmation of praise, the apparent reasons for praise, and then I want you to see an amazing, great thing that grips my heart, something that blesses me through this psalm and also through the words of the song that I mentioned by Fanny Crosby. The affirmation of praise. Let's go through this very quickly. Here in verse 1, we see a passionate praise. A passionate praise. Impassioned, if you will. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Then in verse 2, we see the punctuality of praise. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Then we see the person of our praise in verse 3. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And great, His greatness is unsearchable. And then we see the perpetuity of praise. That's a hard word for Johnson County Board to say, but I managed to get it out. In verse 4, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. And then look at verse 5, and we see a personal declaration of praise. He says, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And then in verses 6 and 7, look at the prolific praise. Prolific praise. It says, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. Let's see, 6 and 7. That's right. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Now, what we see here is we see a passionate praise. We see the punctuality of praise, the person of our praise, the perpetuity of our praise, the personal declaration that we will praise Him, and then we see the prolific praise. Our God is a great and mighty God, and He deserves all our praise. Amen? He deserves the glory that He has surrounding Him in this day and in every day and throughout all the ages. That's why David says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Now, let's look at the apparent reasons for praise. I want you to know it's easy to see why our God deserves praise. I want you to look at three things here. In verse 3, it says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Our God deserves praise. He is unsearchable. You can't understand. We can't comprehend the greatness of the God that saved us. Amen? We can't understand it. I think about what a superior intellect it must have taken to have just conceived all of creation. Amen? I just can't understand. I can't grasp it. I talked to my daughter. My daughter, oldest daughter, is a nurse. She's a labor and delivery nurse. And I was talking with her, I think, this past week. So I'll use it as an example tonight. But and she told me that when a baby is born, now this is an example of a designer. God, the great intellect, designer, all right? When a baby is born, they have a little flap in their heart. And that flap is in one direction while it's in the lady's tummy. Right? And what it does is it keeps the blood from going to the lungs, right? Because when the baby's in the, not breathing, right? Well, immediately at birth, that flap closes, seals, and shoots the blood into the lungs, which fills the lung sacs, the air sacs in the lungs, and then the baby can breathe. It absorbs all the fluid in the lungs, and the baby can breathe at that moment. Isn't that something? Now, she teaches a Sunday school class at our church. And she teaches the middle-aged girls. And she just went through a series teaching them about the errors of evolution. And she used, I don't know if she used that, but she used different things about creation and all like that. But that's amazing. We have an amazing God to have designed something like that. And she told her students, well, she told me that she told her students, that's right, that in evolution, all of them would have died before they developed that flap. So there wouldn't have been a person. There's no way that a baby could exist or live without that. So it could not have evolved. It was put there by its designer, our great God. And we know Him to be the Lord Jesus Christ. So, unsearchable greatness, our God. And then notice in verse 5, He has unmatched majesty. Unmatched majesty. In verse 5, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy works. You can go to England and you can see the Queen. She doesn't have majesty like our God. Amen? You can go, I understand that our president, after inauguration, they have an inaugural ball where they all get decked out in their evening gowns or ball dresses, and you know, the men wear fancy tuxedos and all like that. Hey, there's no majesty there. Amen. Like our God. Especially not now. Amen. Gone to meddling now. Amen. But our God has has unmatched majesty. I thought about Solomon. Solomon, in all his glory, doesn't compare to our God. Doesn't compare to Christ. Solomon, as he was dedicating the temple, he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee. Amen? Amen. There is no God like thee. Psalm 93:1, the psalmist says, the Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. Wherewith he hath girded himself, the world also is established, and it cannot be moved. And then it goes on to talk about his kingdom cannot be moved either. Amen. Our God has unmatched majesty. And then look at verse 6. He has done some unfathomable acts. Terrible acts. That means great, amazing. It says, what, verse 6? And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. We have a great God, and he has performed some unfathomable acts. And I'm talking about, how about the acts, the things that he performed there in Egypt. You know, we can't understand how all that happened. How did he bring in all those locusts at one time? How did he cause the hail to come? With fire. Amen? Amen. I don't understand it. But there are apparent reasons. There are apparent reasons for his praise. It's easy to understand why God Almighty deserves our praise. But there's something else. There's something else in this psalm. And I want us to see it tonight. I want you to see an amazing great thing that I can't get over. Notice, if you will, here in verses 10 through 13. It says, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Can I just stop right there for a minute? Do you notice anything there? This is kind of like a rehearsal, isn't it, of what we've just been going over. How great our God is. All his works praise him. And the saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. That's talking about his works. His works are talking about, they shall speak of the glory of his kingdom and talk of his power. Isn't that right? When you look out at creation, you see what God has done. When you hear about all the terrible acts, and now don't misunderstand me. In our day, terrible means bad. But in his day, it's amazing acts. The great and mighty God rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. He caused rain for 40 days and 40 nights. The deeps were uplifted and caused the whole world to be flooded. That's amazing, isn't it? That's a terrible act. Amazing thing. Isn't that enough to praise Him? That's enough to praise Him, isn't it? Amen? That's enough. His kingdom, His sovereignty in His kingdom endureth forever throughout all generations. He is the sovereign God. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need us. That God that created all that, all powerful, the one that can rain down fire from heaven, who can speak and worlds exist, that God doesn't need us. He's being praised by His creation. Amen? All creation. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. Amen? Yeah. He doesn't need us. But He chose. He chose. He chose to come down to us. That high and exalted God, whose thoughts are not our thoughts, His ways are not our ways, the one who is so far above us as the sky is from the earth, so far removed from us, that God condescended all the way down to man and came. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what I'm talking about. Grace. It's grace extended down to us. We didn't do anything to deserve that grace, right? We didn't do a thing. The only thing we do is just accept it by faith. Amen? That's grace extended to us. Now, a great God like we have, who can speak the worlds into existence, do all those great and mighty things, we expect that, don't we? A great God, we expect that. You remember Elijah as he was up there in the mount, hiding out from Jezebel? Amen? Y'all remember that? Okay. They're older than you said, brother. Y'all been here a long time. But listen, you remember he was there and he was hiding out and he was God. And what happened? A great and mighty wind came and dashed the rocks into pieces. Then what happened? An earthquake. Or was it a fire? Fire and then an earthquake. Right. If I'm wrong, just take a pen knife and don't do that. All right. But there was a wind, a strong enough wind to break the rocks. Then there was a fire, enough to burn the rocks. And then there was an earthquake that shook that place. What spoke to Elijah's heart? Still small voice. We expect great and mighty things from a great and mighty God. But what we don't expect is for a great God like that to come all the way down to where we are to seek and to save that which was lost. That's my God. That's my Savior that came on Calvary's tree and paid my sin. And I tell you, I can't get over it. I just can't get over it. And I won't think I'll get over it when I'm walking in heaven, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, like we said. Amen. We're skipping in. Amen. That's the great extension of His grace. Let me tell you about me. I was a drug addict when I was 5 years old. It's true. When I was 5 years old, boy, I loved those orange-flavored baby aspirins. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I climbed up in the bathroom. Mama kept them in a cabinet up there. And I climbed up on the toilet and stepped up there and reached way up. I remember doing it. And reached way up, and I got a whole bottle. I finished off the little bottle. And I said, that's just not enough. So I opened the oven. Yeah. It's okay. I've been to AA. Aspirin's Anonymous. But I ate those baby aspirins. And I remember eating them. I hid behind the bathroom door. And I just ate them. Mama came in there and asked me, said, how did you eat all these aspirins? I said, one at a time. Listen, they rushed me to the hospital. And, of course, they pumped my stomach out. I don't remember much about that. That I guess that's trauma, and you forget things, right? Anyway, oh, good news is there's apparently no damage. But I did. I ate those aspirin. They pumped my stomach out. But I remember something that while I was there, I was 5 years old, and there was a police officer there. Now, back then, and it should be today, but police officers were really held in high esteem. I mean, their uniforms were crisp and clean, and, you know, they had a little crease over the pockets, and a shiny belt, shiny shoes, you could see your reflection in them. And everything shiny and clean and neat, and boy, police officer was a hero to me. Amen? I mean, I'd seen, Adam 12, something like that. They're heroes. All right. Some of you are too young, y'all. I'm dating myself. Anyway, you talk to the older person, they explain it to you. All right. But there I was, and that police officer was there. And the thing is, they pumped my stomach out, but they had to keep me awake. They had to keep me awake because if I fell asleep, the doctor told Mom and Daddy I might not wake up. So there they are to keep me awake, and there's a police officer there. He was probably there because he'd been chasing Daddy for miles trying to get me to the hospital. But anyway, he let me play with his handcuffs. I remember those shiny chrome handcuffs and the click, 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 click. And I was thinking while I was playing with him, I was thinking, you know, there's this hero just standing here and letting me play with his handcuffs. Now, he's got real important things to do. You know, he's a big man. He's an important man. In my eyes, as a five-year-old boy, he was a great person. He's a hero. He chases down criminals and arrests them, right? Saves us, right? But I just couldn't figure out why in the world would he be messing with somebody like me? I don't deserve. Now, granted, I didn't stop playing with the handcuffs. I said, don't matter. He's let me play with them, you know, and I'm playing. And but I just couldn't get over why an important, great person like that would take his time up with somebody like me. You know, I think maybe that's the thing that David had in his mind where he said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man? And if you notice the preceding verse there, the verse that precedes that is, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, then he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I just can't get over how a great God like that would love me the way he loves me and desire to come down to where I am, take time to save a wretched soul like me. I don't understand it. His grace is amazing, isn't it? All those great things that God did, I wouldn't detract from it. He's a great and all-powerful God. And I praise the Lord that my God is able. Amen? But I also praise the Lord that my God is able to deliver me. That's what speaks to my heart, is that still small voice. Amen. Where he says, won't you receive my son as your Savior? Won't you? He gave his life for you. Won't you ask him to come into your heart and save you? And I did, and I hadn't got over it. How about you? Have you gotten over it? You know, by the way, let me just say this, and I'll close. Fanny Crosby, she wasn't singing, to God be the glory, what great things he has done. She wasn't singing about creation. Let me read you what she was singing about. She says, to God be the glory great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life, an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. To God be the glory. What a great thing He did.
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for what You did for us on Calvary. We know that You're a great, mighty, and all-powerful God. But You also did a great and wonderful thing when You condescended all the way down to where we were and died for us on Calvary. Paid our sin debt so that if by simple faith we'll just trust in what You did on Calvary, that You promised to save us. I don't understand it, but I sure do thank You. Father, I pray that You'd work in hearts tonight. There may be someone here tonight, Christian brother or sister, who has just been busy in the things of the world and occupied in other things, and they have failed to take time to thank You for what You've done for them. I pray that tonight they would come to an old-fashioned altar and say thank You. Father, there may be somebody here who's really doesn't have that relationship, but You're speaking to their heart right now. And You're witnessing, the Holy Spirit is witnessing with their heart and letting them know that they need to receive Jesus as their personal Savior. I pray that tonight would be the night of salvation for them. Father, take control of this portion of the service. Take glory to Yourself. Accomplish Your will in each heart here. And Father, when we leave here, may we do what verse 21 says, and that's to use our mouth to speak Your praise. Father, You're truly worthy of more than we can do. But Father, we can do all that we can. We ask these things in the Lord Jesus Christ's precious name and for His sake. Amen.